Hello, I'm Larry Warren. Thank you for joining us today for the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. The Bible says in Jeremiah 29:11, the plans God has for us are all for our success, to give us a hope in the future. God is good and He only has good things planned for us. But when we don't believe that God loves us, then fear keeps us from stepping into His perfect plan for our lives. After the terrorist attack on September 11, 2001, Brother Copeland began teaching believers that the key to overcoming fear is becoming fully persuaded of God's love. Even though the times we live in today are full of trouble and uncertainty, as children of God, we have no reason to fear the future. God promised He will never leave us or forsake us, so trust in God's love with all your heart, and you'll enjoy the freedom of a bold, fearless life today.
We're talking about the process to come to the place where our faith is uncontaminated by fear, where fear has been flushed out until it's gone, a thing of the past. Steps that we can take in the Word and in our daily lives. It'll bring us to that place where there's no fear here. Praise God. I mean none. Glory to God. No fear whatsoever. One of the things that is such a crippling factor to the lives of most people. I mean, this is so generally taught, and it's... It's something that's very general to the entire human race. I don't care where you were raised. I don't care what your background is. I don't care what the color of your skin is, or the culture you come from, or the nation you come from. This is a general fear that is, it's just taught by most people to their children. And that is the fear of failure. Fear to attempt, fear to step out, afraid to attempt. This moves over into spiritual things in a drastic way. When I first came into the ministry, and I began to see, I went to Old Roberts University, and at the same time I was attending all of Brother Hagin's meetings I could get in, listening to his tapes. I was listening to Brother Hagin teach on faith, and I was watching Oral Roberts do it out in the field, and I was getting a fast education in the gifts of the Spirit and walking by faith and so forth. Well, while I was a student there at Oral Roberts University, I realized that I began to hear the Lord say things about people and how to minister to somebody, and I really didn't know how to handle that. I didn't know really what to do with it. I'd be in a church service, but I'd preach in some little churches around Tulsa there, and different little small communities and so forth, while I was a student there. And I'd be sitting on the platform or something, and somebody would walk in the service, and the Lord start talking to me about that person. Well, I didn't do anything about it. And the Lord asked me in prayer sometime later, a time or two I did do something about it, but one particular time I'm thinking about now, I chilled out before I got about halfway through it. I mean, I really got nervous about it. There two people walked into the service late, and I was sitting up on the platform of this little church, and it wasn't any bigger than this one section right here between here and the cameras there. And this man and woman and another man came through the back door of the church, and the Lord said, that couple right there has a son that's in jail in Tulsa, and they've just been to see him, and I want you to tell them that boy is about to be released from jail supernaturally. I said, is that right? He said, yeah, that's right. And I kind of like, you know, do. Whoa, yeah, I'm really going to do that. I ain't about to do that. So in a little bit, the Lord said, now that couple that came in there, that other man has a son in jail in Tulsa, and I want you to tell them that I'm going to supernaturally release that boy from jail. He's coming home. That they just came back from visiting me. Ooh, 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 ooh. A little bit the Lord said, you tell them. So I thought, now what if I just dreamed this up? And I'm going to get up here and tell that fella his boy's in jail. What if he don't even have a boy? Man, this thing is eating on me. I'm getting this in my spirit and all the time. And I'm looking out there and seeing these people. And I'm really under a lot of pressure here. And I hem-hawed around about it. And I finally, instead of being bold about it, I finally asked them, do you have a son? They said, yeah. And I said, well, let me ask you this, and you just tell me one way or the other, is he in jail in Tulsa? Yes, he is. Well, I got really bold then, boy. You know, I really jumped right in there. But I was uncomfortable doing that. And two, three other times the Lord had dealt with me about this kind of thing. And he said to me one afternoon, he said, what are you going to do about this? I said, nothing. He said, when are you going to obey me in this and go on and function in this manifestation of the Spirit of God, the Word of knowledge and so forth? He said, when are you going to obey me in this and do it? I said, I'm not going to. There's no use you conning him, lying, and coming on some cute little mess. He knows your heart anyway. I said, I don't plan to. I'm not going to do it. He said, why? I said, because I'm liable to make a mistake and just foul somebody's life up to a bad deal. I'm not going to do it. He said, knowing you, Kenneth, you probably will. Well, I didn't expect to hear that. He said, you make mistakes. He said, knowing you, you probably will. But he said, don't you think I knew that? Don't you think I can handle that? He said, you're already making the most serious mistake you could possibly make. I said, what's that? He said, being afraid to step out in faith. He said, that's the worst mistake you could possibly make. And he said, you're going to have to stand judgment for every one of these situations that you refuse to step out here in this. Ooh, I didn't want that. You know, when God says this or else, I've had all that else I want. I'm not going to get off in that. And I realized then that fear was controlling a large part of my ministry here just because I was afraid to step out, afraid to obey God. Now, if this was just some kind of wild impulse, it would be one thing, but when you enter into prayer and you fearlessly give yourself over to the Spirit of God, well, then you're on good and safe ground then. You just walk with Him. But the problem in fear is you're pulling back all the time. Fear never will pull you to God. It'll always pull you away from spiritual things. It'll pull you away. If you're afraid to attempt, afraid to step out, what's somebody going to say? What are they going to do? How are they going to act when I do this? What if I do that and they do this? Reasoning in fear will push you away from what God's called you to do. Amen. Do you remember the Pharisees came to Jesus and they said, by what authority do you do these things? And he said, let me ask you a question. You answer my question, I'll answer your question. He said, the ministry or the baptism of John, was it of God or of men? You remember that situation in the New Testament? And the word says, they reasoned among themselves and said, if we say this, he'll say that. If we say that, then the people will do and say this. And the word said, and they could not answer. So reasoning, see, and what they, the trouble that it got them into was second guessing what Jesus was going to do. They didn't have any idea what he's going to do. And by fear, they were second guessing the people and what they were going to think and how they were going to react. And all of these men standing there before Jesus that day knew the Torah. They knew the written word of God. They knew the five books of Moses. They knew the prophets. They knew and was supposed to know how God thinks. But they didn't because they got away from the way God thinks and tried to change the word and make it say what they thought.
That's right.
And so they began to reason with one another, and fear kept them from being able to answer. And they said, well, we can't answer it. He said, well, neither I'll tell you. But you know what he did? He turned right around and taught the answer to his own question in their earshot, right there while they're standing there. He turned around and taught the people the answer to the question that he had asked them. Now, if they paid attention, they found out what the answer to the question was that he asked them. If they didn't, and I don't imagine they did, if they didn't, they walked away ignorant of what God had to say about it. Amen. And because they were afraid of the people, and they were afraid of Jesus. They were scared of him because they were afraid he was going to upset their whole deal. He's going to mess things up with Rome. He's going to mess things up politically. He's messing up our stuff. He's messing up. He's going to mess us up financially. That's the same thing those hog farmers thought over there when Jesus cast the devil out of that man that was crying and dying up, living in tombs, man, a demon-possessed man up there. And Jesus went up there and cast the devil out of him. And those devils that he cast out of this man went into those hogs and they jumped off the cliff and drowned in the lake. Well, all those hog herders went to town and told what happened. And here come the city fathers came out there to see what's going on. And they saw this man sitting there clothed and in his right mind. Now, he wasn't bothering them all that bad when he was running naked in those tombs and cutting himself and howling at the moon every night. They didn't pay attention to him like that. But now here he is, clothed and in his right mind, and it said they feared exceedingly and besought Jesus that he would leave their country. You know what he did? He left. You see how fear functions, what it does? The rich young ruler came to Jesus, said, Rabbi, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And the Bible said Jesus looked at him and he loved him. So he's about to get a love answer here. And he said, one thing thou lackest. Well, first of all, he said, keep the commandments. And he said, I've kept those from my youth. You want me to tell you something? That's the reason he was wealthy. He said, I've kept those from my youth. Jesus said, one thing you lack. Did you ever wonder what that one thing was? Jesus told him to sell and give to the poor, but that wasn't what he lacked. The one thing that he lacked was the fact that he kept those commandments, but he didn't do it in faith. He kept the law, but the thing that he lacked was faith. See? And Jesus told him, Jesus was going to build a way for him here to develop his faith and correct the error in his life. When Daniel ministered to the king and interpreted a dream that the king had, then Daniel told the king, begin to give to the poor. And the scripture said, in that, in your giving to the poor, it will deliver you from your error. And that's what Jesus was telling this man to do, see. Jesus is going to get him delivered from the thing that was really bothering him. It was something that was, he knew something was wrong in his life. That's the reason he came up there and asked Jesus that question. But now notice what happened. When Jesus told him that, he took it as a loss, selling what he had and giving to the poor. He took that as a loss instead of a gain. And the Bible said he turned and left because he was grieved. Grief is spawned by fear. It's fear of loss, fear of what would happen to me if I did that, fear of what am I going to do now that they're gone. Grief is spawned by fear of loss. Well, he was grieved, for he had many possessions, the word said, but he didn't have to leave. Just because that grieved him didn't mean he had to leave, did it? Now, in his mind, it did. Fear and grief drove him out of Jesus' presence, and Jesus was just about to teach on the hundredfold return. And he turned and left, missed the biggest deal of his life right then. Grief and fear drove him out of Jesus' presence. Now, the reason why is because fear absolutely cannot afford to stay in the presence of God. It can't stand it. It can't stand the presence of Jesus. It can't stand his name. It can't stand his blood. It can't stand anything about it, because fear is born out of death, and death is born out of sin. Sin came into the world, death by sin, and fear was the result. Can you see that? Say amen if you can. Amen. All right, so here's Jesus. I mean, Jesus just stood there. He loved him just as much now as he did before the fellow asked him the question. But he turned around and left. They said, Master, what about us? We've given all. And that's when he taught on the hundredfold return. Praise God. But fear caused that fellow to miss it. Fear to step out. Fear to attempt. Fear to abandon yourself to God, fear of acting on his word boldly. Fear brings about compromise of the word. Fear causes compromise. Whatever you compromise to keep, you will eventually lose. The very fact of compromise, where the Word of God is concerned, is part of absolute, unconditional loss. You remember the Hebrew men that were thrown in the fiery furnace? Remember that situation? And they said to that king, they said, our God will deliver us. Now that was the final, that was the bottom line. They said, King, it don't make any difference if you put us in that fire or not. That has nothing to do with this situation. They said, you put us in that fire, our God will deliver us. Now the way the King James is written there, it's really written wrong. It makes it sound like, but even if our God does not deliver us, but that's not what it says. You check out other translations, you go back and get your concordance and look at the Hebrew words there and see what they actually said. They said, King, if you put us in that fiery furnace, we'll not bow. Our God will deliver us. But even if you don't put us in that fiery furnace, we're still not going to bow. We are not going to compromise with you under any circumstances, burn or not burn. We'll not compromise with you. God was immediately on the scene.
Yeah, certainly.
Fear to be bold. Particularly back years ago when Gloria and I first stepped out in this ministry. And there were certain things that we were very bold about and thoroughly convinced that we had seen in the Word. And people would come up and just, you know, natural talk. Just natural, everyday, highly developed unbelief, you know, just a lot of talk. And I'd finally just get tired of hearing it. And they'd say, oh, what are we going to do? We all going to get the flu. And a lot of people had the flu. And Asian flu, you remember that? Hong Kong flu. Then they come up with a swine flu. Who wants the flu off of a hog? Dear God. So they're talking about all this flu and stuff. And so I called the kids in, and we gathered around the coffee table there in the living room. And of course, there's a lot of talk at school, you know, about the flu shot and all that kind of stuff. Well, I called the kids in. We got around the table. I said, we're going to take our shots. And particularly John's eyes got about that big. Lord, he didn't know, you know, what I was going to hit him with a needle here, you know. And I said, we got the Bible out and laid it down there. I said, we're going to take our flu shot right now. And so we got over in the fact that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. And then we went over to the where the curse is written out in the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, 6th to 1st verse, said all sickness and all disease is under that curse. So we've been redeemed from it. And so we went back and forth and read that several times. We took communion and we stood on the Word of God and believed we received our divine protection from the flu. And there's none of us had the flu yet. Amen. Don't plan on having it next year either. Praise God. Amen. Stood on the Word of God.
Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. I said the greater one. The greater one is right here.
Join us for the Southwest Believers Convention with Kenneth Copeland and our special lineup of guest speakers, July 28th through August 2nd. Register at kcm.org/swbc today.
Welcome to kcm.org, your study center for victory. Get information on what partnership means and take advantage of the resources provided just for you. Build your foundation in the Word with the Online Learning Center of Video Courses, Believers Academy, Bible School from right where you are. Gain access to Kenneth Copeland's partner letter, each letter written to meet the everyday needs of our partners. Download free books from the bonus library with over 50 titles by the Copelands available to read on your phone, computer, or e-reader. KCM.org meets you where you are.
Kenneth Copeland Ministries is here to pray for you. If you need prayer for something in your life, we have trained and licensed prayer ministers who are filled with God's love, standing by to pray with you in faith and according to God's Word. Just give us a call at 817-852-6000 and let us help you receive God's promises into your life.
Every day, your words have the power to shape your life. What words are you choosing? Words that invite struggle and defeat, or words that bring life? In his audio teaching, Choose Life, Choose Words, Kenneth Copeland reveals how the words you speak today will create your future. When your voice lines up with God's Word, His promises of healing, abundance, and victory begin to flow in your life. Conquer worry and anxiety by meditating on God's Word day and night. Let it be the first thoughts you have when you wake and your last thoughts lying down. Build a solid confession of faith. Fill your heart with God's truth and speak words that create the life you were meant to live. Your breakthrough is in the faith in your heart that comes out of your mouth. Request your copy and start to choose life, choose words. Request your copy of Choose Life, Choose Words by Kenneth Copeland. Available as a digital download free on kcm.org/TV special. Learn how to develop a constant confession of faith based on the Word of God. Download your free audio teaching today and let the power of God's word spoken by faith set the course for your life. This free offer is good for 60 days.
In Hebrews chapter 13, God's word reveals a key to success for our lives. It says, "Your leaders who taught you in the word of God, think of all the good that has come from their lives and follow their example of faith." For almost 60 years, millions have heard Kenneth and Gloria Copeland proclaim the uncompromised message of faith from the top of the world to the bottom and all the way around the middle. With unwavering commitment, they have studied the principles of faith in God's word and applied it successfully to their lives so that they could teach others how to live in victory over the curse that is in this world. KCM continues to receive thousands of testimonies worldwide echoing God's faithfulness to perform his word for those who will believe him. Bodies are being healed, marriages are restored, children are coming back to God, finances are being provided, all because of the word of faith which we preach. Hebrews 13:7 also said to follow the faith of our leaders, and that's where your success comes in. Through the power of partnership, we apply the same faith with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland have walked in and receive the same success they receive spiritually, physically, and financially. Your financial seeds join you to the anointing that operates on their life and ministry, empowering you to become what God has called you to be. Partners and friends, thank you for your faithful support to this ministry. Kenneth and Gloria Copeland hold you up in prayer every day at every meal. Together, we're bringing the life-changing power of God's word on every available voice to all who will receive it by faith. We love you and bless you. Before we go, let's pray in faith together for an abundant harvest on your seed today. Father, according to the abundance of faith, we bring our seed before you. By the same grace that is on Kenneth Copeland Ministries, we receive all sufficiency in all things for every good work. And we thank you for increasing our seed sown and the fruit of our righteousness. We break the power over every evil work assigned against us, and we declare the Jesus name over all. Amen. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, this is Brother Larry reminding you, God loves you, we love you, and Jesus is Lord.
Kenneth and Gloria Copeland would like to thank you for praying and sowing into Kenneth Copeland Ministries. We are believing with you for the harvest on the seed you have sown. To give by text, you can text the letters KCM to 36609. Together, we are sending the word of faith to people around the world.